everyone. Welcome to episode 12 of the First Love Club. Well, you can probably hear the humor in my voice because Corey and I have had quite a time getting started today. And it has almost become comical. It's to the point of being comical because we have stopped and started so many times. So, Corey, we must be doing something right because the devil is fighting us.
Well, it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And it's funny, every time we go to do this show, it seems like we always have some kind of issue. And you've told me that you do your own, the Scrap Gals podcast, right?
Yes.
And talk to tons of people. You do recordings. You've done hundreds of shows. Have you ever had the kind of issues that you and I have had doing our show?
No, I've Skyped in over 100 people, I'm sure, because we're almost to 400 shows. And also, I've done a lot of other shows that I've hosted. And so, no, I've never had this many technical problems. So I do believe, you know, there is a reason for that. We are trying to do something for God and somebody doesn't like it.
So somebody's not happy.
Exactly. This week we are continuing our series on the armor of God. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about this past Sunday, which was Easter Sunday, and last week was Holy Week. And I just loved every minute of the weekend. We had a Good Friday service, which is called Tenebrae, the kind that we do. And really, Corey, I was sorrowed in my soul that I wasn't able to take video of it because
I know you love taking video.
I love it
and posting them.
I do that so often, but this was a very somber service. Of course, it always is. And so the lights are very low, and then it's just candlelight, and then it's the last seven things that Jesus said on the cross. And as each one is read, they blow out a candle. And then when they blow that candle out, they turn the lights down a little bit more until you're in total darkness and you walk out in silence. And at the very end, it's completely dark and completely silent. And they hit a nail into a cross. And it is so loud that I jumped off the pew. And it is so loud and so realistic. And I thought, they're going to do it three times for each of his hands, and then his feet were together. And sure enough, they had thought that through. They did. I sobbed like a crazy person. I think I might have embarrassed my husband, seriously. But all of the songs that we sang were so profound and beautiful. We sang, O Lamb of God. We sang, Holy, Holy, who was and is to come. And so many of the lyrics, I thought, these lyrics are speaking to my soul. I wanted to take a screenshot of the screen that was right in front of me, but I just didn't dare. It was that would have been disrespectful. So now I'm trying to get up the nerve to ask someone at my church if I can have a copy of the program that they had, just the order of service amongst themselves. So anyway, then we also had Maundy Thursday, and then a service, and then we had such a magnificent Easter service. And while we were there, the choir sang five songs. I thought of you and how much you loved our choir when you came to visit, and I wondered if you were able to go to church somewhere. So how was your Easter holiday weekend?
It was wonderful. I went to church with my mom and my brother and sister-in-law and my three nephews and Mr. Crafty. And, you know, it was my daughter wasn't there. She's back in Washington. And, of course, my father wasn't there. But he would have been so proud that all of his family was there in church. And I am so excited to say that my two nephews, the eldest had to leave to go to work before this happened, but this is a big day, so they're going to have the altar call. And my 13-year-old and 9-year-old nephew accepted Christ. So I could not have been more thrilled. I was so excited. I can't tell you how excited I was that they did it, because it's one of those things where my daughter accepted Christ. I wasn't even around. Mm-hmm. She officially did before I did. So I know in my heart, it's not something that you push someone towards, or,
right,
you know, try and talk your kid into doing it. So the fact that it was both, on their own and independent of each other, was really awesome. And that it's official now, my entire family is saved. So I think when I look back, that is one of the things I think that made saying goodbye to my dad in the hospital so possible, so for all of us to be so strong, mm-hmm. you know, that we didn't fall apart, that we were able to sing him off, literally off to heaven. And, you know, because I know we have hope that we'll see him again, that's one of the greatest gifts that Jesus has given us, is the knowledge and hope of eternal life. That all of that was just really, it was very emotional, you know, and there was a lot of people who did accept Christ. I think Easter Sunday probably has more conversions mm-hmm. than any other day, I'm guessing, because you're hearing, maybe someone's invited you to church for the first time, or you haven't been for a long time. So that conviction, you know, even if you are saved, some people, like my brother and sister-in-law, they rededicated their faith to God. And I just, it just makes you just so grateful to be part of God's family, and to know that when someone does that, it has such a profound and, you know, everlasting consequences.
I bet it was a six tissue day.
I knew I was in trouble. I think I cried my mascara off like in song number one. So I was like, okay, that's what it's going to be like. This was the first time we'd all been to this particular church, and it was a really mm-hmm. great service. I think, you know, church is a very personal decision, like what kind mm-hmm. of church you feel comfortable in. And when you're dealing with so many different personalities, like what if that person doesn't like it? Mm-hmm. But my mom liked it. They did. So we are all committed. We're going as a family to Bible study tomorrow night. And we'll be back on church as a family on Sunday. The reason why this is so special to me is I didn't grow up going to church with my family.
Right.
And I've lived apart from my family for most of my life. So I haven't lived here near them during periods of time where they were going to church. I'd often go by myself. Mm. So this is fantastic that me and my husband are sitting with my mom and my brother and sister-in-law. We're all together as a family with the boys. And it just makes my cup runneth over. There's just no other way to say it. We sang this song that was like, I'd never heard it before, but it definitely, I was crying. I was such a little, just like you get, are very emotional. Both of us are very much wired.
We're a pair, aren't we? Yeah.
Which is why when we're talking about God, we sound like two giddy little teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the songs that they sang, and it was from North Point Inside Out. One of the choruses is, "Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Mm. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began."
Ooh, that gave me chills. I've never heard that, Corey.
Me too, girl. Wow. That just happened.
I've never heard that before. That's exactly what happened to me in the Good Friday service. I kept thinking, I want to write that down. Wow.
I know, right?
That is.
And I don't want people thinking I'm like posting or like right. I'm checking my text. I'm like, I'm really taking notes. All I have.
Right.
So that song just like, I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't stop thinking about how, what a powerful gift that God has given us, that he allowed us to have everlasting life. You know, if without him, without accepting him, your life just comes to this end, and then there's the beginning of darkness forever after. But because you accept him, because you know, you call him the savior of your life, your heart, he gives you this unbelievable gift that you have done nothing to earn, and there's nothing you could do to pay him back.
That is so wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that about your nephews and your family. The Bible says the angels rejoice when a sinner comes to God. And I think we as Christians have to realize what a monumental thing that is when someone gives their heart to Jesus. We can't take that lightly. That is huge. We had some people get baptized Sunday morning, and I cried while they were going in the water. One of our pastors said he had gotten baptized Let's see here. I can't remember. 22 years ago on Easter Sunday or something. He's not that old, but it was, he was, I think he was 11. And so I thought that would be a lovely thing to get baptized on Easter morning. I've been singing, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me a long life's dreary way, I think is the words. I've been thinking about Easter. Of course, this is Tuesday as we're taping, and so it was just a couple days ago. But I really love the celebration that it is. It's the culmination of all of our hopes and our faith, and just knowing that he didn't stay in the tomb. He's in heaven. He's ascended, and we have eternal salvation because of his sacrifice. I allowed myself to really try to feel the pain of Friday night and Good Friday. And our pastor said, you know, many people don't attend those services because it's so painful. And I thought, this entire place should be full. There should be people waiting outside the door to have a moment to reflect on the suffering that Jesus endured. But I think we've gotten so callous and take his suffering for granted that it's so easy to not think about it. So I determined in my heart, I don't want to just think about it on Good Friday. I want to keep that with me all throughout the year and just never take his sacrifice for granted.
And that's a great thing for all of us to remember.
Well, this week we are continuing our series on the armor of God. And Corey, we talked a little bit before we started the show about how we've had to familiarize ourselves with the different pieces of the armor of God and what these scriptures say, because it's not like we're an expert on any of these things, right?
No, ma'am.
So each week when we come to one, I'm like, oh, what is it this week? And then let me Google.
So, I know, right?
Which, you know, makes me a little disappointed in myself, because I consider myself to know the Bible pretty well. I wouldn't say that I'm an authority on it, but I know it well. And so I even asked my husband about next week's topic. He really knows the Bible well. He's like you. He's a dedicated reader of the Bible. So this week we're going to talk about the shield of faith. So why don't you read the passage that the armor of God scriptures come from once again and lead us up to that part?
Okay, so the scripture is Ephesians 6, 13 through 16. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Well, when I hear that, I'm thinking about two things. I'm thinking about, what does it mean to have a shield around us, and what does it mean to have faith? And so I saw a reference online about a shield, and it used a word that, I guess it was Hebrew, and it means tortoise. And I got to thinking about a tortoise shell and how it it keeps them safe and protected. So I thought of myself as a little turtle on the inside of my shield of faith. And I thought, wow, that is a great way to think about walking out into the world. And my faith is a circumference around me, a protective layer, if you will. And everywhere I go, I'm viewing the world and life through the lens of faith, and I'm using it to protect myself.
Tracy, it's really funny that you mention the tortoise shell. So the way that the armor was created was to protect an individual soldier. Like, he could like kneel down. It was so large, he could kneel down and like protect his body as an individual. But one of the ways that the shield was constructed, one of the features of it, was that you could link your shield to another soldier on either side. And if you had enough of you, you were literally creating a large tortoise covering. Wow. It was called the turtle formation. And I don't watch a lot of historical dramas. Like, I don't watch a lot of those type movies, but I did see, there was some show on Netflix, and I don't remember it now, but it was about the Middle Ages, and they demonstrated that type of battle formation when all of them grouped together. They all put their little shields up, and it literally created a dome in which they were protected behind. And I think that what's really interesting about that idea is when you think about how you and I, for instance, both of us have our faith, and we're each strong in our faith, but when we link our little shields together, we've become even stronger. And then when we tell our stories and use this podcast as a platform to talk about our faith, we are joining forces to strengthen our brethren. So as you gather together with your faith and talk openly and boldly about it, when you're serving God with that faith, when you're showing the world around us that faith, it's like having that large turtle formation, you know, that all of us together are stronger together.
That is awesome. Wow. I have not heard that. And I guess that's why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Indeed.
Because there is power in group thought and agreeing together. Just like before we started the show today, we prayed and said, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you would be there in the midst of them. And we always pray that God will be in the midst of our recording. And so there's just a different kind of agreement when we come together and agree as Christians. I love that.
So I cannot help but bring up the amazing tool, the resource that I have here at my disposal, which if you have not done the Armor of God study by Priscilla Shire, I encourage you to buy yourself a copy and work through it, because this is such a powerful, powerful study, and it illuminates. She brings such understanding to all of this. I have a really hard time. This is one of my weaknesses at this point in my walk. I do have a harder time, a struggle with reading a lot of the New Testament, Paul's letters. The language kind of trips me up, and I feel like I'm missing some of the power behind really what he's saying. So I do tend to rely a bit more on outside resources to kind of help me. I don't need that help in the Old Testament. For some reason, I'm great there.
That's the exact opposite of me. Wow.
Really?
Yeah, so the funny. Old Testament, I do love the Old Testament. I think it's important for all of us to read it and understand it, or else we're only seeing half the picture of who God is. But it is very hard for me to follow. There's a lot in there that I'm thinking, well, that's kind of weird. But then the New Testament, it seems like he's talking to me today. So that's very interesting.
And so many Christians feel that way. So many Christians just really love the new. They want to see you know, the advice for today,
right?
And it's still applicable. This all still counts. It all still matters, whether we have smartphones and we're driving around cars or using a chariot and drawing water from a well. We're still the same flawed human. We're still stiff-necked. We're still stubborn. We're still the same type of person that God had to deal with back then. So it's true that a lot of the advice and a lot of the parables, a lot of the teaching examples he gives, they are applicable. But for some reason, I just seem to struggle with them. So to me, someone who is gifted in the ability to teach, like Miss Priscilla Shire, this study has just been invaluable. And I happen to own it. This was your idea to do.
I never opened it. I'm such a terrible human being. I almost got that book out today because I thought I need to break this open while we're talking about this series, but I knew you would have things to say about it. But I do plan to read it, especially now that we've been thinking about it. I always let life get in the way, but I know she's incredible. Everything you've ever said in this show that's from her, I'm like, wow. So yeah, tell us something good.
Yeah, she's my go-to. So one of the things that she, you know, in this week of the study that she's focused on this shield, you know, she illustrates the most important thing about faith, which is faith is an action. It's not a belief. It's not something we think about or talk about. It's an action. It's something we do. We demonstrate our faith by walking it out. We show God that we have faith in him by being obedient and following what he asks us to do. Even if it's embarrassing, even if it's scary, even if you're not qualified, even if, that's what faith is. And it really got me thinking. And so one of the things I remember when I was a new Christian was how much I loved Hebrews. And one of the things that I fell in love with was Hebrews 11, and it's considered kind of like the hall of faith. Mm-hmm. It's like you're walking down a hall, and there's all these portraits along, you know, hanging up there with everyone's little name along them, these great people of faith. And they were ordinary people, just like you and me. And Tracy, if it is possible that that hall has continued and all of us get a chance to be on there if we do something great for God, just by being obedient, just by carrying out what he's asked us to do, I want to be hanging on that wall, don't you?
Amen. I was going to bring this same chapter up, but you're explaining it way more eloquently than I would have. So I'm so happy you're talking. I'm just seeing in my mind, yes, it's like a grand hall and a castle or a palace, and you're right.
I remember falling in love with that idea that there is this, the grand hall of faith. And Abraham, of course, is really, he's the first one given credit for his faith, because God asked him to leave his people and mm-hmm. everything he knew, because I'm going to make you the father of a great people. So mm-hmm. I want you to leave your people, because I'm going to separate you out there and bless you. And you will have so many descendants, you can't count them.
And he said, how's that possible? I don't even have a child.
Right. And God's like, let me worry about the details. Mm-hmm. You just go.
That's where faith comes in. Yep.
Exactly. And he strapped on his sandals and off he went. And he earned that spot on that wall for that action alone. Is it God asked him to do this? And that's what he did. Does it mean he did everything perfectly? Of course not. And just like we wouldn't do everything perfectly, we have a lot of things to contend with, some of which are the fact that the enemy will always try to distract you, which, if you think about it, I think Sarah and her idea mm-hmm. to circumvent God's plan and say, hey, how about my maidservant? Mm-hmm. How do we know that that idea didn't come from the enemy? Whispering in her ear, just yeah. like he did to Eve. You know, mm-hmm. that's, and I think sometimes we women kind of, I know I have jumped the gun on God multiple times in my walk, where I think I understand the whole picture, but maybe God's given me part of the picture, but it's okay, God, I got this. I understand. I'm going to just jump in. So there's been times in my faith where I have like jumped too quickly. I'm like too fast with mm-hmm. my faith. I'm like quick draw McGraw with my faith. I like put my blazing guns away and really focus on, you know, being more more mature now, and just kind of more having peace with what I hear God asking me to do.
Right.
And so it's very interesting, you know, just kind of meditating on that today. You know, as I was preparing for this particular episode, I was thinking about that shield of faith and how what a powerful, powerful part of the armor it is.
Doesn't the first verse in that chapter tell us what faith is? That faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I love that. That's such a great explanation of why we have faith, because when we're walking with God, we can't always see what he has for us with our physical eyes. We have to see it in our spirit with faith, with our spiritual man. Yeah. I love how you were talking earlier about how you're walking out with your shield of faith. And I thought about how I want to be resolute in my faith. That word came to me. And I feel like we've used that word in another episode of this show.
I totally agree.
Yeah, but that's, to me, how I want to think of my faith, that I'm so resolute in my faith. Nothing can shake me. Nothing can waver me. And so I can do what I need to do for God. I can live life how I need to live because I'm filled with faith. That is my goal anyway. I don't always meet that goal every day, but I pray that God will help me to. We're actually going to stop the show right there and continue this conversation in part two of the show next week, when we talk about the shield of faith for about another 30 minutes. We had so much to say, we ended up splitting it into two shows. So we hope you'll tune in then for part two of this conversation. Thanks so much for listening to the First Love Club.